Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Eileen Marty, Professor of Infectious Diseases at Florida International University. Good morning, Dr. Marty. How are you today?
Good morning, Bob. And I'm looking at the Chicago stats, and it looks like you have a 2.9% decrease over the last 7 days. So good.
Yeah, and that's why Chicago bars and restaurants now can stay open longer and have more capacity. There's talk about maybe allowing fans at Cubs Park and Sox Park this season, if not opening day at some point. Does all this make you nervous?
A little bit, yeah, it does, because, you know, you really want to get to a lower level of transmission overall before you set yourself up for a potential failure. That's not to say we can't have these wonderful things open. It's just we have to be very smart about it. And, you know, just because we lower change things in terms of how many people can be in a particular place, that doesn't mean those people shouldn't try and keep their physical distancing, wear their masks, and be hygienic, because those things still matter.
It's got to drive you crazy when you hear about states rescinding the mask mandate now. That's not a good idea, is it?
Absolutely not. For example, here in Miami, we've detected the Brazil variant, the New York variant, and the and of course loads of cases of the UK variant, and that's going to happen in Chicago too. I mean, we're it's a matter of seek and find in terms of these variants, and we already know that the Brazil variant and the New York, there's actually two versions of the New York variant. One of the versions has that EEK mutation you and I have spoken about, which can overcome people's prior immunity from having had the wild original SARS-2 virus. So we're very worried about that here in Miami, and we're doing everything we can to make sure our population is aware of that increased risk. Whether they'll behave or not is another story, especially now that spring break is happening and people love coming to Florida for spring break.
Yeah, one of our listeners texted us. This is an interesting question. Do you think the super polar cold over the lower 48 contributed to the lower positivity rates? People didn't go out, and perhaps the cold impacted the virus. Do you think that had anything to do with flattening the curve?
There is no question that our behavior is always a factor in how much this virus spreads. And in so far as that incredible cold left people in their homes and in locations where they didn't gather together, it would have an impact on reducing the total number of cases that we're seeing. The vaccine is also having a little bit of an effect, especially in our nursing homes.
And some of the numbers, though, not in Illinois, thankfully, but some of the numbers are creeping up just a little bit lately, right?
They are. In some places, we are seeing little bits of creeps. I mean, you have to watch a trend overall, and people have to be extremely careful, because we are certainly not out of the woods yet. We can, you know, find ourselves in a much worse situation if we don't take those public health measures and get many more people vaccinated as swiftly as possible. All of that helps reduce the transmission and helps us fight over the occurrence of new viral variants that can overcome existing protections. So it's really important not to let up now. We don't want to win the battle and lose the war.
I was reading about the CDC's warnings on the variants. Is this right? Those numbers may not represent the total number of cases that are circulating around the country. It's just those that have been detected by analyzing some of the positive samples?
Oh, Bob, you could not be more correct. That is a serious concern. We do sequencing, whole genomic sequencing, for very few, cases of COVID-19. So we do not know the extent of the variants. Now that we've been hunting more for it here in Miami, every time we hunt, we find. And that's why we're aware that it's a problem.
Yeah, all the more reason to keep masking up, washing up, and backing up. There's also in the news stories about these at-home test kits for the virus. How accurate are those? What do you know about those?
There's a whole variety of them. You know, they're none of them are as good as a laboratory-performed nasal pharyngeal PCR. Although, by the way, we've done some interesting studies in my lab where we can see that saliva is more useful as a technique than a buccal swab to in terms of comparing it to that better standard of the nasal pharyngeal swab. However, here's the thing about these at-home tests. They give you an idea. If they're positive, they give you an idea that there's a problem and that you need to, take care and maybe get a nasopharyngeal test and have confirmation. If they're negative, it could give people a false sense of security that they're truly negative. So you have to bear in mind where you've been, who you've been around, and what you've been doing in terms of your actual risk and not just the results of those tests. But they're part of the solution. They're not worthless altogether. They're just not the best answer.
Can you clear up some of the confusion about how we should behave after we get the vaccination, either the two-shot Moderna or Pfizer or the single-dose Johnson & Johnson? I know the CDC is supposed to release guidelines for people who have been fully vaccinated later this week. I think Dr. Fauci said gathering with people you live with is the safest choice. How should we behave after we're vaccinated?
So right now, the percent of people who have even received one dose is about 16% in the country. And that's nowhere near the percent that we want to have a true sense of a community with, as has been called, herd immunity, right? We're nowhere near, you know, that minimum of 70 and ideal 90% of the people vaccinated. So long as we're in these lower numbers, we have to continue to use those measures that reduce our risk, with the masking, the distance, et cetera. But clearly, they're going to, I've actually been on some of these conversations with the CDC and so forth. And, you know, if both people are vaccinated and have been very careful, they're probably going to allow for that kind of an interaction between people from different households who have been very careful and are both vaccinated. We'll see what they actually come up with in the end. But those things would be reasonable.
Another question we get a lot here, and I'm looking at an email from Jack in Rockford, Illinois. After both grandparents have been vaccinated, can they safely visit young grandsons for several days in their home?
So it's the word safely that's a little bit. Can they visit? Yes. Should they be mindful? Yes. Should they, try and keep a little bit of distance, make sure there's plenty of hygiene in the house? Yes. But their risk has gone down. And then it sort of depends on where they are in their vaccination and which vaccines they receive. Certainly, the risk is very low if they're fully vaccinated and the time has passed and they receive the messenger RNA vaccine like Pfizer or Moderna. With the Johnson & Johnson, you know, we're at 85% for hospitalizations. So at 85%, that means if you flip it around, it's about these numbers are a little bit, flexible, but it's about a 15% risk of still ending up in the hospital as an older individual. That's something to consider, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different risk factor, and you still, you know, you have a significant amount of protection, but not exactly the same as you're getting from the messenger RNA vaccines, and you might want to be a little more cautious than if you receive the messenger RNA vaccines.
All right, Dr. Marty, I'm going to leave you now with something that's really going to impress you. You're really going to think I'm smart when I say this. Are you going to be conducting any N1 experiments today?
Oh, yeah, every day. We always look for N1s and N2s. Very good. Very good. Yes, yes. So N1, of course, is one of the proteins in the nuclear capsid of the SARS-2 virus that is pretty specific, pretty unique for the SARS-2 virus. So that's one of the reasons we look for it. If that's what you want to know, you bet. I do that every day.
Dr. Eileen Marty, FIU Health Travel Medicine Program and Vaccine Clinic Commander. Thanks, Dr. Marty. Have a great day.
Thanks. Take care, Bob.